Welcome to After Dark, Rob and Andrew, on the America Outlaw platform. I am your host, Rob, and my co-host tonight is Heather Robinson of the New York Post. Heather, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Rob. How are you?
Good, good. Heather, there's a lot to talk about this Monday night. Everything that's happening in the news, both earlier today with Trump being once again dragged into court, and the attacks on Israel this weekend by Iran. I think Iran fired 300 drones on Israel. Thankfully, the United States and its allies, the UK, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and Israel, were able to knock the drones out of the air. But the fact that this happened in retaliation of Israel killing one of their generals, it speaks volume as to Iran trying to definitely cause an all-out war with Israel in hopes that the other Arab nations will step in and attack Israel. What happened on October 7th, and I think you and I, we both agree that Iran was behind this, that will live in infamy. And for anyone to think that Israel does not have the right to defend itself, you're just bonkers. And you're living in some make-believe world that the media has created. And night after night, I have come on here and I have denounced the media. And I've said that the media is a threat to democracy. I will now go further and say that the media is a threat to civilization. A media is a threat to world peace because they're lying about what's happening. They've indoctrinated so many young people into thinking that Israel is the enemy. And not only that, Heather, we have two congressmen, Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, that are pushing hateful rhetoric on the heels of the Capitol. You look around you, you saw what happened after this attack by Iran. You had these Palestinians that are here in America denouncing Israel for protecting itself, denouncing Americans and saying death to America. How in the hell did we allow these people to come here to our great country? How in the hell are we sitting by and looking the other way? And then to find out that for almost a year, there was a terrorist who's been on the terrorist list roaming freely in America. How in the hell are we allowing any of this to happen? And then you had Christopher Wray to come out, I think last week, to say that the threat is imminent. America will be hit internally. How in the hell are we sitting by and allowing the media to denounce America and say that we're the bad guys while we have our enemies all around us about to swallow us up? How in the hell can anyone tell me that Joe Biden is the perfect president for this time when he's utterly by and allowing this great country to be destroyed? How in the hell that we as Americans are allowing this to happen? And this is what they have wanted all along. All great nations fall when you have barbarians at the gate from within destroying the country. Heather, what do you say?
Well, you lay it out, Rob, and it's very concerning and ominous. I mean, I always had the hope that when times were hard, the right leader would arise. Maybe that's born of an American faith and optimism, seemed like in World War II, you know, FDR, flawed though he was, you know, he did help bring the country through. Truman made some excruciating tough decisions, but they were necessary. Eisenhower, you know, was a great general and oversaw things in a peaceful time. And it just seems like, you know, the leadership, well, you know, we just have to hope that the right leader will emerge. And we know that, you know, President Trump, when he was president, this was not going on. I mean, there was a lot of internal division. We know that the left was going crazy, but the world was comparatively at peace. And I think there's very little doubt that Biden is perceived as weak, and whether it's Russia or these Islamist terrorists, They are pushing, they are testing, they are not afraid. I mean, look, they've attacked American ships like 100 times already or something. I've lost track. As you pointed out, they killed several of our soldiers recently. Hamas is holding American hostages, if they're even still alive, bless them. And Biden doesn't even mention that. I don't know if he said much of anything about our soldiers that are on killed or about our people being held. And I mean, I don't like overreaction. I don't like, let's all go to war because someone floated a balloon over the country or whatever. Yeah, I'm talking about that Chinese spy balloon and things like that that aren't, they're not imminent life and death and the blood of our people. They're not breaching our border. Well, it did breach our border, I guess, but it's like every country spies on every other country. I mean, some of this stuff I think people get all worked up about, and I think we have to be judicious. We can't start running around half-cocked. But I mean, when a country is this belligerent, they're attacking your soldiers, your interests over and over and over again. They're fomenting so much bloodshed against your people, all our soldiers in Iraq, all the terrible dismemberment and death that was driven by Iran. Now, Iran, I don't have proof that Iran told Hamas to go do this. I certainly wouldn't be surprised, but I know that they have been attacking US ships, killing US soldiers. I guess I don't know. I guess we're afraid of World War III. Otherwise, I don't know why we, as the strongest country in the world with the best equipped and trained military, don't just get rid of this regime in Tehran already. They are the belligerent actor for the past 40 years. How many of our people have they grabbed? How many of their own people have they tortured? How many terrorist militias all over the Middle East have they funded? For decades and decades and decades. I mean, they've been asking for it. And I don't know why. Not only do we not get rid of them, okay, maybe this was too complicated for me to understand. And, Russia and China would jump in and defend these barbarians. I don't know. But at the very least, why are we unfreezing assets? Biden unfroze tons of money for them a year or two ago, correct? It was something in Iraq that he gave the Iranians money. I'm at a loss. I mean, these people are at war with us. They're killing our soldiers. They're grabbing our people. They're bombing our ships. They're torturing our allies, and we're giving them our lunch money. And Biden should be ashamed of himself for that. At the
Well,
very least, that's unacceptable, unconscionable, and everything he's doing, I think we should be doing the exact opposite.
it started with Obama when Obama released the money to them, saying that it was frozen, but he said that it was their money. We have to also remember that Robert Gates cautioned us, and he said, and he has been saying this for the longest, each time Biden has tried to run for the presidency, each time Biden has come up, Robert Gates, the former Secretary of Defense, has openly said that Joe Biden has been wrong on every foreign policy issue for the past 40 years. Ever since Joe Biden has been on the Hill, he said that Joe Biden has been wrong. Now, the media has made light of it. Like,
Sounds about right.
maybe, but that's serious for someone to come out and say it. Because when Trump was in office, as you so rightfully said, we didn't have any of these issues because they feared him. They said, well, he's crazy like a fox. And sometimes it's good to have your enemies to think that you're crazy so that they can't guess your
Yep.
next move. Whereas with this president, they knew exactly what he's not going to do. I mean, I'm hearing that he was on the phone with Benjamin Netanyahu trying to convince him, do not retaliate. Okay, we were able to knock the drones out of the air, but don't do anything. And that is exactly what Iran is hoping, that Israel does not do anything, because if Israel does, we know game on. So Biden is trying to convince Israel to stand down the same way Biden stood down after we had three black soldiers killed in Yemen. I mean, Iran just keeps poking at the bear, knowing that this bear is a sleeping bear that will never wake up because Biden is afraid. I am not a proponent of war. Hear me
No, I'm
clearly.
not either.
I am not.
Unless we're going to win, unless we're going to win, unless we're doing it for real.
unless
Which
you're
that's
going
the
to
only,
win.
yeah, the only reason, I don't mean to interrupt you, Rob, but that I, the only reason I think maybe there may be some merit in, not that I'm crediting Biden, but I mean, Israel standing down. I mean, the truth is, Iran shot its wad here, and they, you know, I don't mean to make light of it. They killed a little girl, the bastards. But, you know, mostly the Iron Dome and all the defense. And as you said, Israel's Air Force, the RAF, and the US prevented mass carnage here. So they didn't actually, you know, I mean, they did something horrible. They killed a child, but they, you know, they didn't really break through, you know, in mass. And so I do, I guess I think to start retaliating, if we're not going to really go and put them out of business once and for all, I mean, a real serious, I mean, war where there is no losing, where they are gone, that regime is done, unless we are prepared to do whatever it takes. I don't think we should retaliate with these half-assed things because, you know, this is the new way we seem to fight. And I just think that what they need to be deposed, that regime needs to be removed. And until, you know, the world's not serious about it yet, you know, they're going to keep tormenting and torturing and doing terrorism and funding mayhem, and it's just going to go on and on. But, you know, until we're ready to fight this for real, I don't know that it's the right thing to just start with the tit for tat and then more people get killed and you leave them in place. Like what I fear is going to happen with the Israel-Hamas situation. Because the left and the international community is, you know, they don't allow wars to be won. So it is tragic. Nobody wants any children to die. I mean, you might as well just leave it all in place if you're not going to really finish the job. You know, this is a civilizational war, and I don't think. I don't know, Rob. I'm not a military expert, but I don't know that it's wrong to stand down if we were able to prevent them from really coming in, you know, and doing much damage in Israel. And if we're not prepared to really fight it to win, maybe Biden's right about one thing. Maybe Israel should stand down for now. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, no, I agree with what you're saying. If we're not going to do it to win, why even enter in? And we know that this administration has an adverse appetite to standing up to our enemies. They would rather ingratiate them and give them all these rewards. I mean, if we're going to go in, we have to complete the mission. And I think, in my humble opinion, I think that Benjamin Netanyahu would do that. I think he has been methodical. I think he's been extremely careful, lest he's perceived as being this warmonger who's just trying to annihilate these individuals, and he should be for because they're terrorists. But I think that if he were to be unleashed and just say, complete the job, as we said earlier on when this thing first happened back last year, I think you so boy, I want to say poetically, but you so clearly said that if they wanted to, they could just level the Gaza Strip and make it a complete parking lot. Now, I know that sounds very dramatic. It seems harsh, but this drip by drip, we're going to make this move. We're going to do this. We're going to move some troops out. We're going to come back in. Meanwhile, the enemy is just being that much more emboldened to carry on their mission. It is a PR mission to make people think that Israel is bad. You look here, as I mentioned when we opened up, you have people that are here right now, Palestinian Americans, I guess, and they're saying death to America. They're burning our flag. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib. I'm sorry, folks. They should not be on the Hill. They should not be. Okay. You can speak out. You have your freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want to say, but your allegiance should be to America. That is the reason why you're here. We just got to come out and say it. And these two women, and I think a lot of others, are not for America. And we need to go into Michigan and see what the hell is going on up there, because I'm afraid we got a little bit of terrorist activity that's going on. Okay, we can't be afraid to call this out. If we're going to sit up and we're going to call out white supremacy and say, oh, it's here, it's there, then we need to be able to call out the terrorist activity that's taking place in Michigan. We just need to wake up and call it for what it is. And I think there's a lot of terrorist activity that's going on. Those two women need to be up under surveillance. If you're going to surveil regular Americans because they're going to school meetings, school board meetings, and speaking out because they don't want their children objected to all this craziness with transgenders and drag queens, then we should be able to call it out and say, what's going on in Little Michigan? Because I think there's a lot that's going on that should not be going on, and we need to look at those two women. But instead, they will look at American citizens. They're not voting for Republicans because, oh, they're voting for Trump, and oh, there's something going on there. They're insurrectionists. And all these judges that won't stand up, all of these attorneys with all these hoity-toity degrees from these Ivy League schools, what the hell are they doing? They should be calling out what's happening to Donald Trump, whether they like him or not, because they see that democracy is being destroyed. They see that the left is making a ridicule of our justice system. There is no reason why. There is no reason why, Heather, Donald Trump should be sitting in a New York court, accused of a crime that Alvin Bragg, the black DA, is seeing, oh, I'm going to make a name for myself because I'm going to bring down a president, the first president to be charged on a criminal charges. Well, you're also the first black man to be played like a cheap fiddle by the left. Let's just be honest here and let's just be frank, okay? Because we know that these charges are all trumped up charges. Every legal expert from the left and the right have said, how the hell did they pull this off? Cy Vance, a Democrat, even turned this case, looked at it, and say, I'm not going to bring this case. There's no there there. You've had others to say the same thing. You even had a New York judge to call out this current judge, Judge Juan Marchand. Judge Shiva Shindlin, a Democrat, said that this judge should step down, should recuse himself. She's a Democrat. She doesn't like Trump. But you know, they're going to continue on with this parade because they know no one is going to call them out. The media isn't going to call them out. The media is going to play along with it. And as I have said before, and I will continue to say, this media in the current form needs to be shut down because it is not a free press. They are an operative of the Democrat Party. You're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud platform. We will continue the conversation on the other side of the break.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, HealthyCell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off. Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
And we're back for the second half of the show. And my co-host tonight, Heather Robinson. When we went to break, Heather and I were talking about the different congressmen that are coming out with their positions on Israel. And even before then, when we were putting the show together, Heather and I were texting each other, sending each other different articles and talking about what was happening and praying that, common sense would prevail. But we see now that Iran is, I mean, they're looking at this as an opportunity to, as I said during the first block of the show, for an all-out war to get rid of Israel. Now, here's the thing. I was doing some research. If you noticed, Iran does not really have an army per se that can defend them. But what they do have are drones, and they rely on other countries that they can draw into this conflict. They rely on the terrorist organizations like Hamas and ISIS and all these other groups that can penetrate through different countries and wreak havoc. We know this because we know what happened on 9/11. We also know what Iran did during the 70s with Iran crises, whereby they held Americans for 444 days. And you have these nincompoops, these millennials and Generation Z that know nothing about this. They're out, oh, Israel is bad, Israel is bad. They don't know anything about history because it's not being taught in schools. The only thing that's being taught in schools is diversity and equity. And if you're a little boy, you can change your gender. If you're a little girl, you can mutilate your breast and you can become a little boy. That's all they're being taught, Heather. It is time to wake up. And I am so glad that we do have some congressmen on the Hill that are speaking out. And one in particular, Heather, that you mentioned when we were during the commercial break, John Fetterman, whom initially everyone thought that he was just completely off his rockers. And that's not to say that he still isn't, okay? But he has come out and spoken about this conflict. You want to share that with our listeners, Heather?
Just that this morning, I saw both Fetterman and J.D. Vance, senators from Pennsylvania and Ohio, respectively, on one of the morning shows. And yeah, I was just struck by how they were both impressive, well-spoken, very well-informed. And they had a slightly different perspective from each other. Fetterman has made a real departure from a lot of the Democrats in that he has this clarity. He sees that, as he says, Hamas are murderers, sadistic rapists. We cannot stand with them. Israel has to defend itself. And, he linked support of Israel with support for Ukraine and Taiwan. Vance, whose perspective I really respect a lot, he just made the point that, Israel is really the much longer standing, closer ally, with whom we truly share. We know that we share a great deal in common, as compared to Ukraine. Nothing against Ukraine, but we don't have the history and the trust and the mutual assistance with that country, that we've had for Israel for many, many, many decades. And that Israel, that our first priority is, according to Vance, is our own border, number one. And then second, Israel and Ukraine, a distant third, so his priorities I actually thought made more sense. But both of them were very strong in support of Israel, and I appreciated that.
We have to appreciate those individuals who are seeing through the charade of the left and calling it out. But I still find it just disturbing, Heather, how even Bernie Sanders came out the other day and was lamenting against Israel and saying that Benjamin Netanyahu is committing war crimes and that the United States should not give them any more money. We should close up our purse and just leave them to their own devices. And I thought, wow. And I think, isn't Bernie Sanders Jewish? I read somewhere that he's
Yes.
Jewish. I just find it, again, fighting against his own interests, similar to, and I've made this comparison before, to blacks who consistently give a majority of their votes to Democrats. And for what? Democrats don't do anything for them. And right now, what are the Democrats doing? They're trying to replace them with illegals, but they're still telling blacks, oh no, we're going to help you. They've been saying that for the past 60 years. Why is it that we still have ghettos in the black community? Why is it that black people are still far behind other groups? Why is that? The Democrats don't want blacks to move forward.
Are terrible. They're terrible.
The policy is completely atrocious. They don't want blacks to move forward. They want black people to continue the dependency on the government so that every election cycle they can tell them, we're going to help you out. We're going to advance your causes. We're going to get you out of this situation. But they're not doing it. They're not doing it. Barack Obama didn't do it. He had two terms. And how did he change the quality of life for black people? So when I see these black people coming out like Al Sharpton, Whoopi Goldberg, Oprah Winfrey, Joy Reid, coming out and saying, oh no, Donald Trump is a racist and black people, you need to stick with Joe Biden because the Democrats are going to help you. They're not going to help you. They don't want to help you. They want to keep you dependent upon a system that you will never progress from. There should not be black ghettos, as many as we have. We should be able to go to different cities. And this whole thing with affordable housing. What is affordable housing projects? Let's think about this, black people. For 60 years since the civil rights movement, you're still in the same position, asking for the same place at the table. And then they will tell you, oh, it's the Republicans. No, it's not. You had a black president for two terms. Where did it get you? Why didn't they have DEI during his term? You see how they've been lying to you? And they will continue to lie because you're allowing it. You refuse to walk away. The same thing I will say to my Jewish brothers and sisters. You refuse to walk away from the Democrat Party. Yes, some of you can say, oh, well, you know, Joe Biden, he put together a group of a coalition and they shot down those drones so that we wouldn't get killed. And, you know, they did this. Yeah. But at the same time, he's telling Israel, he's telling Benjamin Netanyahu, don't strike back. Don't do anything else. Just leave it like that. No, Iran has come out and said, OK, we're done. We've done what we need to do. We put our 300 drones out there. So we're done. No, you're not done because you continue to fund Hamas. If you're done, you would tell Hamas, release the hostages. And why isn't Joe Biden? Just one more thing. Why isn't Joe Biden pushing release the hostages? Because he probably knows that the hostages, unfortunately, Heather, are dead. What do you say?
I just think that that should have been the precondition for anything from the start, Rob. I mean, I look, I'm not that hard. I mean, okay, I'm not saying starve people. I'm not saying don't give them food. You know, only Israel would be responsible for the humanitarian upkeep of a population of radicalized, bloodthirsty enemies. However, there are children, plenty of children there. So I don't favor. I mean, I understand Israel has to, I guess, provide them food and water because nobody else will. But other than that, there should have been no concession, zero, without the release of every one of those hostages. I just think from the start, there should have been a hard line, no internet, no, you know, special Red Cross. If the Red Cross can't get in to see the hostages, the Red Cross isn't coming to see anybody. You know, you can get food and water. That's it. Any of you people wanted to stop, give back our people, the people of the world, the Israelis, the Thai people, the French, the Russians, all the people of the world who were kidnapped and brutalized. The world should have taken a hard line with these people. No one will get tough with them. No one. And so they just do this. This is their thing, is terrorism. It's gone on for decades now. They get away with it. They get sympathy for it. Because then when they get pounded for it, they cry. Then they cry. And that's all the, you know, international left sees. And I think that the so-called humanitarians should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, how can you ask? I do understand concern for civilian life. I feel terrible about it, too. But at the very least, you know, put pressure on both sides. And these people who say, you know, they care about the Palestinians and they have nothing to say about Hamas. They don't tell Hamas, you do not grab civilians. People are not currency. You stop it or you stop your crying. You're not going to get any help from the international community. If the international world would take a hard line with these people once and for all, it would stop. this has not happened. You know, they've just been given endless sympathy. And, you know, it is sad, but it's happening because they started it. Their leaders perpetrated it. They will brook no compromise. They are bloodthirsty, sadistic, rapists, murderers, and thugs who will not give back our people. They are responsible for the blood of their children, which is a horrible thing, you know, that they've forced Israel into. And this world, you know, just does not want to have moral clarity about it, Rob. And that's why I fear that it just continues. It just continues. So I don't think there should have ever been. I mean, look, I guess it's at least we got some of the hostages back. Every life is precious, you know. And so maybe it was all worth it for that. But I just think there should have been a much harder line about getting back each and every one of these hostages. I think it should have been crystal clear from the start that this was something different. This time they went too far. And honestly, I know that the IDF's been very tough and a lot of people have been killed, you know, on the Palestinian side. And I feel bad for the children, but I think it should have been clear. I think it should have been laid out more clearly that this can stop if every one of these people is returned in 24 hours. Otherwise, there will be hell to pay. No Red Cross, no, you know, internet, no coddling, you know, unless you stop this evil, vile practice of grabbing innocents and kidnapping and torture. That is not acceptable. It's never even been done. I guess the Nazis did a version of it, but I mean, it was an unprecedented thing they did, and they should have been treated in unprecedented fashion. And I don't really feel they have been. I don't feel that the conditions, you know, I just think, you know, there should have been a clearer stick and carrot, you know, right from the get-go that, you know, that you return these people. All of them, where you do not beg for sympathy. And, you know, it's too bad for the civilians and all that, although we know most of them were celebrating and dancing on October 7th, something which we don't do, by the way. We're very sorry when their children die. We don't want, you know, they are these adults and they are radicalized. They are filled with hate. You know, I don't know how much sympathy they deserve. I do feel sorry for the children. But I think for the sake of everybody, the conditions should have been laid out and clear from the start that they return every hostage or there's going to be hell to pay. I feel like that message was a little muddied and it's kind of been, you know, zigging and zagging and aggressive and then pulling back. And then, I don't know. I mean, it's a horrible situation.
That message was by design. It was by design because Biden is trying to appease the radical arm of the Democrat Party. Everything that this administration has done, is doing, it is to appease the radical arm of the Democrat Party. And interestingly enough, that radical arm of the Democrat Party, as well as the radical arm of any group that we see here in America, is comparatively small, but they have a big voice. For Biden to go to Minnesota and to speak out against Israel to this Arab community, this Muslim community, just to appease them, and then they turn their backs on him, and then Rashida Tlaib said, don't vote for him, withhold your votes from him. This woman should not be in Congress. I will say it again. She should not be there. Who is she representing? She's not representing Americans. She is representing this radical arm in the Muslim community. Her allegiance is to the Palestinians and Palestine. We need to call it out. What is our FBI doing? Our FBI is too busy going into public schools, to school boards, trying to arrest people that are speaking out against this radical agenda of our educational system. The FBI is too busy trying to entrap Trump to make certain that he can't become the president so that he can't make America great again. Joe Biden's Department of Justice is so busy cahooting with all these different people, and we see it. It's not a secret. Look at Fannie Harris. Look at what she did with her boy toy. They went to the White House and met with Kamala Harris. and so many of these other individuals, if we were to pull the phone records and expose them for who they are. George Marchand, I will bet you anything, this man is compromised. He is corrupt. He knows what he's doing is wrong, but we have no one who will call them out. We don't have anyone in the legal community that will write an amicus brief and say, this should not be happening, and this is a reason why. We are destroying democracy. We are destroying our rule of law. Where are these judges? Where are these lawyers? What is the Supreme Court doing? They can intervene. I'm tired of saying, well, we just want it to play out. No, we can't, because when you allow it to play out, you look at what happened with Iran. We allowed it to play out, and look at what they did. It's only a matter of time before a drone hits and it sticks, and then it's all out war. We can't sit idly by and play games. The Democrats are showing you who they are, and they mean it. They don't care about democracy. They don't care about civilization. It's all about control for them. That's all they're concerned with. What other group would tell little children, allow a child to make a decision about a matter that is going to impact them for the rest of their life? The child can't make a decision to drink, but they can make a decision as to, I want to cut off my body parts. I know that I'm having all these strange feelings and I should be one gender or the other. The Democrats, they're ruthless, they're dangerous, and it is time that people start standing up and seeing them for who they are, because what they're showing us is exactly who they are, and they're going to do exactly what they want to do if we don't stop them. It's time for another commercial break. We will end the segment with the third half. I hope you'll come back after this break. Thank you.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma, Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
We're back for the last half of After Dark. And during the commercial break, Heather and I were still talking, as we always do, because the conversation just continues after we pay the bills and whatnot. And we're talking about some of the allies that came in and assisted Israel in, you know, knocking down some of these drones. Heather, you want to expound on
yes.
that?
Yes. Well, just on a positive note, Rob, apparently the U.S., our great country, Britain, and France all helped to interrupt the barrage of drones that, you know, and missiles that Iran fired at Israel. So, you know, good on Emmanuel Macron and Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister of England. I mean, there are allies who acted with character here and helped Israel. Apparently, Jordanians shot down some missiles, too, although I guess it was in their own airspace, so that wasn't necessarily to protect Israel. But it's good to know that in a world that has seemingly gone mad, there are minds and people with clarity. You know, our own U.S. Navy apparently did a good job, aircraft carriers shooting down some of these drones and missiles. And the Iron Dome kicked in. And the Iron Dome was a very expensive defensive system put in place during the Obama years. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Obama in general. I think he stymied Israel in a lot of ways. But I was never really of the opinion that he completely hated Israel. I mean, he's, you know, he has, I think, a tendency to side with the Arab world and to dismiss and rationalize a lot of the evil that comes out of there. But I don't think he hated Israel particularly. He didn't get along with Netanyahu, but he and Congress did pass through funding for the Iron Dome, and credit where credit's due. It helped a great deal in this situation.
I don't give Barack Obama any credit whatsoever. I think that he detests Israel. I think that he is a radical. I think he has been playing to the progressive arm of his party. Now that he is out of office, he is seeing the fruit of his labor with these radical individuals who have just sprouted up all over against Israel. Because if he did care, he would come out and speak out against these radicals. But he has not. I personally think that he's enjoying this. He should out and speak unequivocally and say, this is wrong. The same way he should be coming out and saying, we may not like Donald Trump. He has a difference of opinion. But to try to say that he is a racist and that he hates the country, when the only thing this man has done was to try to make America great again. Oh, we know that's too much for Obama to admit. That's too much for Obama to say, because his wife even said that, oh, Trump, he made these accusations and he made these charges and my husband's life was at risk. Well, your husband's life was at risk the moment he decided to run for president. And that's the same for any president, anyone who decides to run for the presidency. Their life is at risk. So cry me a river of tears, Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama and Barack Obama are pathetic. Yes, I said it. They are a para, in my opinion. They have done nothing to promote unity within this country. The only thing they have done is promote divisiveness. And Biden and his wife have continued along the same lines. You know why? Because they don't want this country to come together. They want us to be constantly at each other's throats. Shame on them. Shame on them both. Remember when she had this campaign in Africa when those girls went missing? Bring our girls home. Yeah. Where are they? Well, did she ever follow up on that? No, she didn't follow up on
it. Did she ever say anything about these Israeli girls, their breasts hacked off, brutalized in the most grotesque ways, raped? I mean, she's a woman whose concern is supposedly for other women. And, you know, has she said a word about that? Not that I know of. So
no, because
she really—it
was all a sham. She wanted you to think that she's doing the right thing. She wanted you to think that there is a sisterhood. But in all honesty, Michelle Obama did not care, the same way they don't care about Chicago. Now, what you bet this man who was recently killed from a police stop in Chicago, before long, he'll become the next George Floyd. I'm looking for his name. I thought I had written it down somewhere. He'll become the next George Floyd. And then they'll all go out in the streets and they'll protest and say, oh, my God, look at what Dexter Reed, that's his name, Dexter Reed, a 26-year-old, was stopped in a traffic stop from the police in Chicago. They stopped him. And what did he do? He decides to pull out a gun and fire at the police officers, and they returned fire. Yes, they released 96 rounds within 41 seconds, but why did Dexter Reed even fire at the police? It was a traffic stop. All he had to do was stop and listen. He didn't want to do it. He thought he was above the law, as do so many Democrats. So now he's dead. And I'm sure they're plotting, when are we going to come out and when are we going to protest? Meanwhile, Heather, there was a little girl who was killed in Chicago due to gang violence. No one's going to say anything about that. No one's going to go out in the streets and protest. Kids are being murdered in the streets, slaughtered in the street. Their blood is running in the streets in Chicago. And liberal Chicago at that, a Democrat stronghold. But you'll have these... Yeah. Democrats, the police officers, they're racist. Okay, so what do we call the black folks that are killing other black people there in Chicago? Are we just supposed to look the other way? Well, that's what the media is doing. The media doesn't want to talk about it. But yet and still, all white people are all racist. Okay, so black people killing black people, what are they? We have got to start calling this out. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of the double standards. And it is time that people start calling it out. Every so often we have on the show, Heather, a guest that you like, and we've guested with her before, Bebe Diamond. She's a dynamic speaker. And she calls this out all the time. Right now she's having some medical issues, but she's going to come back on. And we're going to continue this conversation because we need to call this out for what it is. Mm-hmm. Republicans have got to stop being mamby-pamby and playing around with Democrats because they're showing you who they are. They're out for blood. They want to destroy America by any means necessary. They don't care about Israel. They don't care about the rule of law. It's all about Democrats and them having power. They will lie. They will cheat. They will steal and they will kill. They have weaponized our Department of Justice. And we see this being played out. And not a single person will call it out. What are Republicans doing? Republicans with deep pockets. They're sitting by watching George Soros, whom we haven't seen in quite some time. He's probably on his deathbed somewhere. But his son has picked up the baton and is continuing the tradition of putting in these woke, radical district of attorneys. What are deep pocket Republicans doing besides complaining and allowing the lower people to go out and stand up and take the hit? It's time for them to put some skin in the game. It's time for them to start standing up. We as a nation cannot survive this way. We've got to call it out for what it is. We would have never gotten to this point, Heather, if Donald Trump was in office.
I doubt it.
People would know that there would be clarity as to where we stand. Right now, there is no clarity. Joe Biden is too busy trying to write checks to pay off student debt because he's trying to appeal to young people. Now, the Supreme Court has told him, you can't do this. Nancy Pelosi even said he can't do it. And here's the kicker, Heather. Since he wants to write off all this debt, why would they just ask the universities just to waive it? Why won't the universities just say, okay, paid in full, or we'll go to the banks and we'll pay up your debt? We have these huge, what do they call it? This huge trust fund or whatever, endowments, that's what I'm looking for, these huge endowments, we'll just pay it off for you. Why won't they do it? The more the government intervenes and pay out these debt, it does not give the universities an incentive to lower the cost of education. And at this point, I think this education is becoming just a waste of time. It's just a money gaming scheme. But see, this is what the Democrats have turned it to. Mm-hmm. And people aren't looking at it. They're not calling it out. They see it, but I guess they don't believe it. The same way we see mm-hmm. what's happening in Israel, the same way we see how Biden has turned his back on a Democrat ally in the Middle East. There was an article I think I sent you, Heather, when we were doing the pre-work. I want to find it here. It says that Biden tells Netanyahu, U.S. will not engage in counteroffensive against Iran. So mm-hmm. it's over. And we're not going to engage, and don't you engage. So if they hit you again, just be quiet. Just move along. Go along to get along. Don't say anything. How offensive is that? How weak is that? No, China is looking at this. Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, Trump's got to get these, got to be tough with these people. He's got either that or they'll be scared enough of him that it won't need to happen, which would be the best case scenario. Somebody's got to, it's just obvious. Somebody's got to get tough with these people.
Well, they only respect strength. They don't respect weakness. Okay, China is sitting back watching all of this unfold. First, we had Russia to go into Ukraine. And we've talked about that ad nauseum as to why they should have just come out and said, no, you're not joining NATO. You're going to stay where you are. What do you have to bring to the table? We would have to protect you anyway, so just stay where you are.
It would have been much better.
Much better. But Russia moved in. And now we have China looking at Taiwan. It's only a matter of time. It is only a matter of time. The Democrats know it. Our congressmen know it. Russia knows it. And before long, China and Russia, I mean, they're going to gang up on the United States with Iran. And why wouldn't they?
Yes, I guess that's the fear. The fear is that if we take out Iran, that they, I mean, you know, I guess it gets complicated. I just don't know why anybody would want to go to world war over that horrible regime of fanatics. I guess it's the oil. Is that part of what's going on? Biden, you know, I guess he doesn't want any kind of disruption in the flow of oil and, you know, anything that's going to reduce his chances of reelection. And that could be part of why we're pussyfooting around them, but we probably would be anyway, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
You know,
we're letting them kidnap our people, attack our allies, steal the money. I mean, the whole thing's so extremely absurd and outrageous and frankly degrading. The only explanation is, I guess, that they have what? There's oil there, and somehow the economics of it or something. There's no other way. I mean, I don't know why we, as the strongest country in the world, are putting up with this. We're fighting a proxy war against Russia, as we've discussed a million times. Russia, whatever it's doing that's wrong or whatever, they're not generally tormenting our people and killing our soldiers. They do have a couple people. They have a Wall Street Journal reporter. But, I mean, only after we massively funded this war against them that they've been fighting with their own neighbors for decades. I mean, but we can't touch Iran, you know. And Iran's the one who's, you know, come for us again and again and again. So it doesn't make sense to me.
I will say again, the Iranian crisis of 1977, I think it was. 444 days, they held Americans.
Yep.
And fast forward to today, they'll probably try to do the same thing at some point. We mm-hmm. keep saying that the Iranian people, when they get tired of the regime, they will dump the Ayatollah and they will stand up and they'll do something else. But that remains to be seen. I think it was Dershowitz who came out and said the other day, I heard him, he said that this is an opportunity for America to stand up and once and for all get rid of these radical leaders in Iran. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know one thing. We cannot continue this way. running from these rogue countries, being afraid to show our muscles. As Trump used to say, our guns are a lot bigger than your guns. But when we keep, as you said, Heather, pussyfooting around, and, oh, we can't do this, oh, because of this, oh, because we have a small group of people here in America that's going to say that we're bad. Okay, then you know what you should do? If they don't like it, then they should pack up their bags and get the hell out. Pack up and get the hell out. America is supposed to be the strongest nation on the planet. Why should we kowtow? Why should we be afraid to say we have all this might? Why? And I think that's one of the things that Donald Trump never understood, that this is America. And when it's time for war, we always have to send our men and women out to defend other countries that won't defend us, that won't stand up with us. Those days have got to be over. It is time for us to say, we're not doing it anymore. If you're going to utilize our resources and our money, we give billions of dollars to Jordan every year. I think the same amount almost to Egypt. Why aren't these countries standing up and supporting us? Why aren't these countries saying, wait a minute, we need to go talk to Iran and tell Iran, you need to stand down?
Why aren't those countries, why don't they take some of these Palestinians in if they are so concerned?
I'll tell you why they won't take the Palestinians.
Build a wall. Israel has to build walls because the Palestinians are coming to murder them. But, I mean, their own brethren, the Egyptians, build a wall to keep them out while they cry that so many Palestinian children are dying. Okay, well, why don't they take some Palestinian women and children? Israel or anybody would have been for that.
I'll answer that. Then the show is, believe it or not, we're at the end of the show. The reason why they won't, because I did research, is that they are afraid that the ones that they take in are actually terrorists and that they will turn on them. Even if they were to take in a family, they don't know if the son of that family, the husband, the uncle, or even the daughter could be a terrorist. So they'd rather not take them. They'd rather stand on the sidelines and say, Israel, don't do this and don't do that. It's most unfortunate. This conversation is not going to stop here. We're going to continue the conversation. Although we're up against the time and we've got to go, but we're going to continue this conversation. So we hope that you come back to After Dark with Robin Andrew and my co-host, Heather Robinson. And as we always say before we sign off, stand for something, fall for nothing. God bless America and God bless Israel. Thank you and good night.